We are going to meditate upon God's word from Mark chapter 6 for the last time. Mark chapter 6, the last four verses are very applicable to this day. In Alabama, in the nation, around the world. Mark chapter 6 and verse 53. Mark chapter 6 verse 53. Let us hear God's word. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway, or immediately, they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds, that word is also pallets, those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, that is Jesus, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch, that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Amen. So concludes the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, a chapter filled with miracles, and may the Lord, by His miraculous power, continue to speak to those who need Christ, to bring souls savingly to Himself, and may the Lord bless His word to the needs of our hearts today for His own everlasting glory. King Jesus is the master on both land and sea. It was very obvious before they came across the sea that night that the Lord was master on the land, for there were thousands and thousands of hungry people that were desperate for food. And the Lord, by His miraculous touch on that little boy's lunch, so marvelously multiplied that to not only the nourishment of somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people, but they were so full that they couldn't eat another bite. The word was that they were at the point of being gorged, so much food. And so much left over. His sovereign power as Lord and Master on the land. But as soon as His feet touched the waves of the sea that night, the sea became firm under every one of His steps as He walked across our Lord Jesus Christ. And then once He reached the western shore of Galilee, His touch was equally almighty to the healing and to the restoration of all of that sick multitude who touched Him. On this resurrection morning, let us consider together the awesome power of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only to heal the sick, but also to save the soul. Because that is the very meaning of the last two words in our English version. It is one word in the original, and it is the word for save or salvation, the commonly used term in the New Testament for being saved or salvation. I want to point out, first of all, from verses 53 and 54, His going forth, our Savior, is going forth. Verse 53, and when they had passed over, They came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Wherever our Savior went during his 3-year ministry, he went there with the purpose of delighting to do good to the people, abundantly bestowing his vast blessings upon the multitudes. And on this particular morning, his errand to the people of Gennesaret was no different than it had been in all the other places that he had so signally blessed. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Terms hard to grasp, but the very fullness of the Godhead in a human body, our Lord Jesus Christ, overflowing with the fullness to bless, with the fullness to meet the needs of all of those people. He was there to distribute pardon. He was there to distribute life and health, and also to provide grace. I want to point out, secondly, not only his going forth, but his growing fame, which is very obvious in verse 54. The scripture says, straightway, or immediately, they knew him. He was one who could not be hidden. The Lord Jesus Christ was a public figure. They knew who he was. They knew him as the healer. Past experience of those people caused them to realize this mighty one, the great physician, had come to them again. And the Savior had already healed multitudes, as well as certain named individuals in Mark's gospel. If you look at chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and then of course in chapter 4 he had so many of the parables. But then in chapter 5, again, the Savior is healing multitudes. And in the 6th chapter, Matthew, when he recorded the history of what was going on here in chapter 6 of Mark, when the Lord Jesus Christ was about to feed the 5,000, Matthew tells us that first, before the Savior fed the thousands, he first healed all of the sick that were among all of those thousands. Quite amazing. They knew him. They knew that this is the man that they needed. Therefore, they welcomed him. They did not treat him as the people of Gadara had treated the Savior. If you remember, they begged the Savior to depart from their coast. And what a terrible thing when the Savior departs from anyone. Well, they desired the Savior. They wanted him. And I hope that's the way you are today. Because here we are gathered together under the mighty hand of God. And the Lord comes today to you. Do you desire him? Do you want him to come to you today? Well, God is here. And that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. But you have to desire him. And these people knew him. And they desired him. And they welcomed him. Oh, that you would welcome him as your Lord and as your Savior today, right here where you are. As Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Well, thank God, these people knew him. And the fact that they knew him moved them. It caused them to do something since they knew him. The verse 55 says that these people ran. They literally ran throughout the whole region, gathering up the sick people to bring them to Jesus. They were moved to gather these feeble ones. So in the third place, we see his feeble ones gathered. They ran through the whole region round about, gathering all that were sick out of every city, out of every village, and even in the country. They brought them up to the main road in the country. And in the villages and in the cities, the scripture says they laid the sick out in the streets. The streets were lined with the sick people. And they were brought out on pallets, probably pallets made of those twisted, woven stems of plants like we've seen this morning. People were brought because they couldn't come themselves. They were so bad off that they could not just come on their own. No doubt many of them had crippling diseases. And others were so weak and sick and near the point of death that they were no longer able to walk for themselves. No matter how heavy they were, no matter how far their dwellings were from the road, the people brought them. They carried them to where Jesus was. And as Jesus passed by, they had the privilege of reaching out and touching just the border of his garment. As what it says there in the last verse of the chapter, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Oh, how many, many people were sick out of that whole region, from the villages, from the cities, from the country, all around that region. How many were sick? And I was noticing on the internet that they say 3,000 plus people in the state of Alabama are sick with this virus. Many have died. And you know, these many, many sick people in America and across the world, oh, how wonderful if Jesus would pass by this day and touch and heal them all. Oh, what spiritual healings the sinful multitudes in America and even in this corner of his vineyard need. Oh, what spiritual healing is needed among the multitudes and also within the professing church. There's the need to touch Christ this very day. Every one of us need the touch of Christ today. The Greek word, I said, I pointed out, is literally saved. They were made whole. And it's the same word that's used for salvation for all eternity. These Galileans that stretched forth the empty hand of faith to touch even Christ's garment were made whole. That is, they were made completely whole, not only in body, but also in their soul. What a happy day it was in the land of Gennesaret. Oh, what a gathering it was. Oh, what a partial fulfillment it was of that great prophecy that Jacob made in Genesis 49, speaking of Christ, that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Christ was the center of this gathering. He was the center of the gathered multitude. He was the center of the gathered feeble ones. They all had a great need in themselves. And Christ has a great fullness to satisfy and to meet every need of man. I wonder, as those people obviously sensed their need and they would reach forth their hand, do you sense your need of Christ today? Perhaps you are a religious person. In that case, I warn you to beware of any type of religion that does not cause you to sense deeply your need of Christ. Beware of any type of religion that does not make you sense deeply your need of Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees were religious people. The hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees, They were religious, and yet they had no sense of their need of Christ, the Messiah. The publicans and harlots and other sinners, however, sensed their need of Him. They felt their shame. They knew their guilt, the awful degradation of their sin. They understood something of that. So many harlots and publicans and other sinners came to Christ and flocked to Him. They knew Him. And they knew that they were being held captive by their very sins, and only Christ could release them from the bondage of their guilt and misery. Well, we have considered this morning His coming forth, His growing fame, His gathered people, and now finally, His garment felt. Verse 56, "And whithersoever He entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him," that is, they begged Him, "that they might touch, if it were but the border of His garment, and as many as touched Him were made whole." Okay. They besought Him that they might touch Him. The folks that knew Christ were aware that even a touch of the border of His garment would be nearness enough to Him to be effectual to meet the need. So those that had run and had gathered up and brought the sick ones begged Him that each feeble touch of faith would be effectual to make them whole. Spurgeon wrote about this, commenting on the account in Matthew. Spurgeon said, "In no case was there any failure. In no case was there any failure. In every instance, the healing was complete. Their humble request and their earnestly asking was not refused. All that were diseased, all that touched Him, were made perfectly whole." Oh, what a blessing. The cure was immediate. The cure was irresistible. And the cure was free. Oh, what awesome power of the great physician. Oh, what a happy reward it was to those that ran and to those that carried the feeble. They were no doubt weary because of the much work of getting all these sick ones up to the roads and the streets to where Jesus would pass by. But God blessed their efforts. And is there not an assuring note there that, Christian, every work for Jesus will be blessed? Even a cup of cold water in Jesus' name will not go without a reward. So, dear believer, keep on praying. Keep on sharing the good news. Keep on helping the needy and the oppressed. Keep on supporting the widow and the orphan. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, this is the last point, I said. His garment felt. You have to feel that garment by faith. You have to reach out and touch Him by faith. He is the only Savior, and you must get to Jesus. You know, one of the terrible results of the fall is our separation from God by nature. We are afar off from God. You must get near to Him by faith. The distance between the sinner and Christ is eternally ruinous. Nearness to Christ is infinitely to be desired. Nearness to Jesus Christ is infinitely to be desired. Oh, that you would desire Him today. You must make contact with Jesus. You have to make contact with Jesus. If those people lying there on their beds in their pallets had not gotten in touch with Jesus, if they had not made contact with Jesus, they would not have been healed. And you must make contact with Jesus. How can you make contact with Jesus? Look unto Him by faith. He touches us. He speaks to us by His Word. And we are to speak to Him in prayer. We are to cry out to Him, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. All who touched Him were saved. Millions have come to Him down through the centuries of time. They have heard who He is. They have heard what He said. They have heard what He did. And He is still the same this day. He receives sinners. I'm thankful for that. There's room for me because Christ receives sinners. There's room for you because Christ receives sinners. He said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me. He says, touch me, look to me, hear me, follow me. I say that Jesus is very near to us today. So do not go away from this message without drawing near to Him, without touching Jesus by faith. You must simply stretch out your empty hand of faith and take Christ, even now, right now, as your Lord and Savior. May the Lord give you grace, dear friend, to reach out and touch Him today by faith. For all who take Him by faith are made completely whole and saved forever. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us the Word. We praise Thee, O Holy Spirit, that Thou hast breathed the Word of Holy Scripture. We praise Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou art the incarnate Word. And we pray, O God, even as Thou hast given us this window of time to draw nigh to Thee together, that Thou wilt make the Word of the Gospel effectual in hearts, encourage Thy people, give strength, and protect us today, O Lord, from a worse storm than any tornado, even the storm of Thy final wrath. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.